And welcome everybody on YouTube for Off the Hook Overtime. I seem to be here. Kyle, did you make it?
I think I made it. Hi.
All right. You left Mr. Softy behind, I think. Alex, are you out there somewhere?
Yeah, I just made it. I was just riding my bicycle with Rebel, and we just got back.
You sure you want to go down that road? Because he's going to call, you know, okay, yeah, I think the best shows are the ones that are most adversarial as far as conditions. And, boy, this one takes the cake, I got to say. It's hot. Well, it's getting darker outside, but I'm not sure if that's because of the smoke or the end of the day.
My bicycle with Rebel.
You sound like you're a memory in my head right now.
You sure you want to go down that road?
Why am I hearing me?
Oh, we're on YouTube.
Oh, you're telling us that we're on YouTube. Okay, can you turn us off now? Not take us off YouTube, but I don't want to hear myself anymore. Now I know how people feel. Alex, are you there?
I am indeed.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'm here.
We got a fan going. It's uncomfortable. Let's try and get through this. And, of course, we don't have Robin Gila. Gila is the one who keeps track of the channel. So right now it's a free-for-all. And you guys can, try and behave yourselves and prove that you're mature enough to be unsupervised for a little while, because I'm sure as hell not looking at what you're saying. I make it a rule. Don't look at a chat while you're doing radio. I think that makes for better radio and probably a better chat, too. What we're going to do is try and make this as normal as possible, maybe a little bit shorter than usual, who knows, and open up phone lines at some point. But first, I'm opening up the floor if people want to say anything in addition to the... sorry, I had to cut you off, Alex, because you were on a roll,
okay.
But we ran out of time.
I didn't realize that. You know, time flies when you're having fun. Tempus fugit, as they say. What was I going to say, speaking of saying things?
I don't know. I'm not going to help you. You have to remember on your own.
I was getting reports. I can't see the skylight right now, but I'm getting reports from friends and listeners of the show that the Manhattan skyline, if you're looking from Queens over towards Manhattan, which would be looking west, that it looks positively apocalyptic at the moment.
So how is it that you were telling us that you didn't notice anything amiss? Am I to believe that when the apocalypse comes, you're just not even going to be aware of it?
I might not. I mean, I fall asleep really quickly.
Well, you're either somebody I want to hang out with in the apocalypse or somebody I don't want to hang out with. We'll figure that out depending on what kind of apocalypse it is.
I don't sense or feel anything any different than I usually do. I mean, it's just hot and muggy. And actually, it isn't even that hot and muggy right now because of the fact that there was rain a little while ago. So that took a lot of the humidity out. But, I think it's otherwise okay. Yeah. So should we open up the phone call, the phone lines earlier?
Yes, the phone lines are ready, and there are 32 people in the chat, as far as I can tell.
Okay, all right.
I'm not really looking at it, but I will sort of look at it.
Well, I'm not looking at it at all.
If I have time, but the phone line is ready, yeah.
Well, no, it's not.
Oh, no, you're not ready with the phone.
I'm the one that turns it on.
Well, it's physically, like, here.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I'm not turning on a phone line that doesn't exist. That's wonderful. But it's not on yet. It will be on. Maybe somebody could get out the phone number first, then it'll turn on when the last digit is spoken, as is our tradition.
All right, I could do that.
Any other instrument?
Have at it, Alec.
Go ahead.
It is. Should we do it as a math equation this time? So you get a.
How much do you want to annoy people tonight, Alex?
Yeah, I'm going for it. Mm. I think I'm going to go for it today. Yeah.
Yeah, this could
all
be
right,
it.
It's this 8. Could be. Oh, there we go. Okay. 802-249.
What?
3225. That's.
Wait,
I almost forgot it.
You fucked it up, man.
Did I? 802-321-4225.
You said 249.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I totally screwed
that
up.
What number is that? It's 249. Now I got to call that number.
Don't worry about it.
No, I ain't going to worry about it. I got to find out what that's all about.
Yeah. You know, there is an 802-249 exchange.
Are you on a different radio show with a different 800 number or 802 number, rather?
I have an 802 number myself, by the way.
Did you just give out your phone number?
No, I did not.
I've heard people do that on the radio. They give out their own phone number because they're used to doing that.
And, that's really funny.
Yeah, oh, my God. Let's try this again. Boy, it all falls apart when Gila's not here to hold us
together. Well, you know what? It's on. I see it on the YouTube background at the moment, too, so it's this is going to be much easier for me. 802-321-4225.
And that just like that, the phone line is active. It's ringing immediately.
It does help to have Gila, but we will surely have her back in the future.
Okay. Well, I guess...
we are ready to take this call.
All right. This might be a friend of yours, Alex, but let's say hello. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. It's Howard. I'll say hello to you, Radio. I'll say hello to Alex. First thing, Alex, congratulations on getting it to Ham Radio.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Good to hear your voice, my friend.
Yeah, by the way, if you could look me up, get a hold of me, I'll give you the information for my repeater. We have All-Star, and that's like the Internet. You can come in using your iPhone, have access to the repeater. I'd love to have you and your son use my repeater system.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love that. That would be very cool. That's kind of you. Thank you.
Yeah, my call's a WB2HWW. That's my ham call to the repeater. It's in Queens, and it's on a 30-story building. It has citywide coverage. So with a biofag or anything, anywhere in the city, you should have no trouble hitting a repeater.
Awesome. I love it. That is great. That is very kind of you. Very, very cool. I'm really looking forward to getting into ham radio and learning more about it. I just need the time to sit down and sit with the study guide. Do you think there's any good study guides for the ham radio thing? I just see a whole bunch of questions and things.
Any of the stuff from the league, and there's another guy out in California, now having a brain fart. There's any of them. And there's a couple of them on, they have apps that you can just pay for it, like $5, and you can just take the example test. If you're going for the technician license, it's pretty easy. You probably can learn that in a weekend. You're going for your tech or going for the general?
Very cool, very cool. Now, let me ask you this. How long have you been
ham radio? He asked you a question, Alex. He asked
I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. It was breaking up on me for a second. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, I asked you going for the technician, which was the entry class, or the general?
Yes. No, I think the technician, but I'm going to go for the entry one first and then make my way forward or upwards from there.
Well, I've been licensed, let me see, I got licensed in the end of 67, going into 68, when I was like 13 years old, so I've been licensed over 60 years or close to it. I hold an extra class, the highest class license, so, I've been playing with radio since I was a kid when we had tubes.
Oh, my goodness, that's amazing. A 60-something-year licensed ham radio operator that we have online, that's extraordinary. So you've seen, real progress. You said you started out and they were vacuum tubes? On the radios?
Yeah, like 6L6s and big glass tubes and rectifier tubes. And
unbelievable.
I was playing around when I first got on radio when I was 9 years old using a walkie-talkie on CB, and then I got into CB with tubes, and then I got into my ham license 2 years later when I was 13 years old.
Oh my goodness, that's incredible. That's amazing. So what was it about radio that drew you in? Was it first using the CB? Was it the technology? What was it?
I'll tell you exactly what happened, and I want to tell you why I really called. When I was about 9 years old, we were at Alexander's. I don't know if any of you guys know it, at the old Alexander's up on Queen Boulevard.
By the round Macy's, right?
That's correct, right around Macy's, right near the, there was a parking lot behind it, and there were some buildings, and I was there, and there was two guys, there was a husband and wife, they were on these big walkie-talkies, and I told my father I wanted one of those. The next thing I knew, he came home that night and surprised me and my sister with two walkie-talkies in Jamaica at the old Lafayette store that was in Jamaica, Queens.
Now, I have to ask you this. Why was a husband and wife using walkie-talkies? Do you have any idea? Was that intriguing?
Yeah, I remember. They were keeping track of each other to see where they were in the store. One person was on one floor, the other person was on another floor.
They used walkie-talkies for this. That's pretty interesting. that wasn't a really a common thing that people would do, was it, back then?
Not really. It was, and they had a CB in their car. The guy was telling me that, and my father surprised me and bought a radio and bought a pair of walkie-talkies, and the rest is history. I got an engineering degree and all of that stuff.
Amazing, amazing. Did you get into other types of radio, like shortwave? Are you just kind of a general radio enthusiast? And
no,
all spectrum?
I had a Hellcraft SS-85. I used to love to listen to Voice of America, listen to Radio Moscow. I used to listen to hams. That's how I learned about ham radio. Because I got the walkie-talkie that went out and bought a shortwave radio, a used radio that my father bought for me. And that was $35. And that was in 1966. I was into CBs. So, I was into the ham radio stuff. And it's been a great...
Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this about the shortwave. You've been listening to shortwave for a long time. Did you ever just accidentally stumble on any of the number stations?
Absolutely. All those number stations.
Wow.
They knew what they were. They would give five-letter code groups. I used to listen to those. And then I remember the woodpecker. You know what a woodpecker is?
I do not.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I do know,
really?
I know what the animal is. I know what the animal is.
The woodpecker radio. Children know this. No, was it the Soviet Union? It was somebody who just was doing a woodpecker sound to jam a radio broadcast, right?
That was woodpeckers. There were two of those.
Those
were over the horizon radar by the Soviets, but some of them would come in and jam Voice of America or jam the BBC. Yeah, that was a woodpecker that would be on 40 meters or in the 41-meter band. Yeah, I love listening to all of that stuff. What a lot about history. I used to listen to Radio Prague. I used to listen to Chinese radio, Cuba, all of that stuff. Had a lot of fun as a kid growing up. Had a piece of wire about 30 foot long and tuned in the world.
Amazing. It's extraordinary, right, how all of a sudden the world is open to you. So let me ask you this then. What was your take on that story that came out recently when the United States first attacked Iran and there was that jammer frequency on shortwave that was detected? Do you recall that story?
Not really. Not really. There's so much stuff going on. But should I send an email to oth@2600.com? Is that what I should do? And I can leave my phone number and you would get it out?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, we'll get that. That's perfect. I will get that. Absolutely.
Yeah,
yep.
Give me a phone call. I'll give you the information. When you get your ham ticket, you and your son can welcome you to the repeater, and you can be, you can be in New York, and he can be anywhere. As long as he got an iPhone or an Android, he got the app, you can come in on the Voice over IP.
That would be fantastic. I would absolutely love that. I would love that. Let's do it.
Voice over in that phone call. Okay, here's what I really called about. Just want to let you know, I signed up for Grok, which is the AI by you-know-who, and basically I've been ripped off because it doesn't work. It worked for a couple of months, and now when you go to it, you can't ask it any questions. It says, do you want to tell me a story? A lot of people are complaining about it. If you go to Reddit or X or other platforms, they really messed it up, and they're giving everybody a hard time trying to get their money back. I signed up for their $30 a month deal, but I actually I'm canceling because I'm not going to pay $30 for something that doesn't work.
Yeah, what is this again that you got?
Grok. You know that Grok, G-R-O-K?
Oh, from X or Twitter or whatever it's called, right?
Yeah, from Elon Musk, whatever.
Yeah,
and it was working really great. You could tell his stories and stuff like that. Then somebody took away the internet. It doesn't work anymore.
Wow. Do you know if there's a class action or any kind of recourse that people have been trying to organize?
No, but if you go on the internet, you see a lot of people complaining. And if they're saying it's because you're growing so fast. You know, they had... For a while, it was free, and then you had to start paying for it because they put limitations. And now there are people that are paying. They've got three classes of service, a free service, the $30 a month service, or the $300 a month service. And the $300 one service isn't working. People are screaming. A lot of people have done chargebacks. And if you do a chargeback, you're banned for life. They won't let you ever sign up again.
And can you tell me, is there a sort of a contractual duration? Is it like a long-term thing, or is it just month to month? Can you cancel, or do you have to have...
You can cancel any time you want to,
okay.
Apparently, because Apple says it. Apple basically controls it. Yeah, you can cancel, but it all depends on how you sign up. If you sign up, you can sign up for 1 year, and then it's like discount. So if you sign up, you pay maybe $270 instead of $300. And I feel sorry for the guys who pay $3,000. You know, pay 10 months at $300, and they're getting really screwed.
That's interesting. I wonder if it's some kind of toppling over of the model or something affecting the model itself, or if it's just an availability issue. Maybe there's too much demand.
Availability issue, and the app has been crashing because they're trying to change it every... It said, because I really do like it. I think AI used properly cannot... It'd be a good thing for someone who's blind. I was using it where I would take out a bottle of medicine and ask it, it would tell me what it is.
Wow.
Give me all the information. So there are good things for AI if you use it appropriately.
Uh-huh. Hey, you guys want to hear Woodpecker?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, I haven't said that with you guys know, but I just didn't...
See, you can't hear him at all because of the Woodpecker.
Woodpecker. See, you know what a woodpecker is, okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
You were in the 41-meter band, around 7.5, 7.4 megahertz.
Wow.
And you know what just went off the air? On 7235, 7.235 with WCHQ, that was Canadian time clock.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. I like that time station. I'm sad about that.
I used to listen to that all day sometimes for an hour. Just get mesmerized by it. It would tell you the time, and it would go beep, beep, beep.
Uh-huh.
That's the time. It's 7 o'clock, and it would give you the universal time.
It was in French, too, I think. Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, things are disappearing. They just got rid of some long-wave stations, too, in England, so I'm sad about that.
Yeah, they got rid of some of the 200. Now, a lot of power. How many people are really listening to it? But
I have a long wave radio in my smart car because it's a European car. I've never received anything on it.
I got to tell you, this is a question. Let's see if you know. I think you know it, Alex. What's the difference between the U.S. spacing, you know, like the AM band here in the United States, and the European band?
What do you mean? What's the difference?
Okay. In the United States, it's 880, 890, 10 kHz spacing.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
It's 9 kHz. When you go to Europe, anywhere throughout Europe, like Greece or Bulgaria, Romania, or Albania, which I've been to those countries, it's all 9 kHz spacing.
Yeah, which makes it harder to figure out what the next frequency is going to be, because you have to be able to add 9 to 9, etc., whereas here it's just, you know, base 10. It's easy.
Right. But
why did they do it that way?
I asked a couple engineers. They just said they wanted to be different than the rest of the world. I don't know why they did 9 kHz.
Well, you can squeeze one more station in, I think. That's probably one reason.
Yeah, but when you go to 9 kHz, you have to have a narrower audio frequency response. You lost the kilohertz.
That's true. It's AM, though, or medium wave.
Yeah, it's like a marginal percentage of it.
Yeah.
Just compresses it a little bit somehow.
Well, why couldn't they just name the 9 kHz 10 and make that 10 and then just make smaller 10s across the band? You know what I mean? So, you know, you say it's 1 to 9, but it's actually 1 to 10. You just redefine where the 1 is.
Yeah, but here, listen, let's say you got 881. 881, the next would be 890, then you'd be 891, then 902, you go up 9 kHz. It's a 9 kHz. It's very confusing. And also, in Europe, they don't use 200 kHz spacing, 150 kHz spacing, 200 kHz spacing like we do on the FM broadcast band. They use, I think, 150, and they don't run 75 kHz. I think they run 60 kHz of deviation.
You can have even-numbered stations. You can have 99.6.
Right. Yeah, well, us spent a year or so in Europe, so...
You've been to Albania. That's Kyle and I have been to Albania as well. So three of us. Alex, you're the only person who has not been to Albania. How does that make you feel?
Have you been to Bulgaria? I was to Bulgaria in 94. That was a horror show. Realize how communism really destroys stuff. You ever been to Bulgaria? It's on the way to Greece. On the way to Romania, you go to Greece. The next country is Bulgaria. Then you go to, Constanza, Romania.
Uh-huh. I got to tell you, Bulgaria is a cakewalk compared to Romania, because Romania was this really scary regime. Nicolae Ceausescu, so...
Oh, you didn't want to live in Romania. I had a lady friend. She said they left. They left in the middle of the night. It had nothing to do with... Elena Ceausescu. What a horror show that was.
That was something.
And in the end, guess what? They hung him up.
They sure did. 1989. That was quite an active period.
Yeah, and they hung him up on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. That's when they killed him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, him and his wife. And they really hurt that country.
Yeah, he bankrupted the country to pay off foreign debt. He was obsessed with that. And they would have to turn the lights off, the street lights off at night, every night. It was insane. It was an insane regime.
You know, it's really insane when you're there, all the dogs howl. It's almost like you're listening to vampires. And I've been up in the Paphian Mountains. That's an interesting place.
Yeah, yeah.
Paphian Mountains.
Good times. All right. Well, good talking to you, and... all the best.
I guess after I get off, Rev will give you a call.
I'm sure he's war dialing right now.
Yeah, but after a while he's a little annoyed. I don't know. Whatever.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for your call.
All right. Wow. Well, we'll see. Well, I think we'll see him at Hope. We'll see a lot of ham people at Hope.
That's really cool. It's
going to be awesome.
Good to hear from Howard.
We have like four or five... like ham-related talks, I think, and workshops and exams and all kinds of other things.
It's going to be really busy just from that perspective, for hobbyists, radio hobbyists, and so on.
Did you hear the announcement today? We've got Rinaldi Santiago. He played Phantom Freak in Hackers. You guys remember Hackers, right? The movie Hackers? You're giving me blank stares. What the hell?
Yes, it's a movie.
Okay. Wow. I know it's uncomfortable, but... he was one of the main, one of my favorite stars, actually, because he just was funny, positive, he has a lot of good lines, and I'm trying to think of one. Yeah, I left it in that place by the thing once, but we were at one. I don't remember the exact quote, but if you go to IMDb, you'll find all the quotes. Phantom Freak, look it up.
Absolutely.
No, I did see that. That's exciting. That'll be very cool. I mean, I remember when it came out, and I remember... You helped out a bit with that. Remember when? Yeah.
And we're putting together a panel, actually. As I was a consultant for the film, I'll be on the panel as well. But there's other people that might be a part of it. Sadly, we learned that Raphael Moreau, who wrote the screenplay, passed away from COVID in 2021, I believe. And... I guess nobody ever mentioned it to us, certainly. And it's really, really sad, because he was such a good guy, and he really did his homework to make that film accurate. Keep in mind, he's the writer. He doesn't really get a say into how things look or, who was cast or anything like that. But I worked with him extensively to, get things right as far as the way people talk, what they would do, what they would not do. And, some of it was made it through. Some of it didn't make it through. But he really cared. He really wanted to get it right. And he did it. He came to 2,600 meetings. And a lot of what's in the film is based on things that were real. And it's an amazing experience to see that happen, to see something come to life like that. It doesn't happen very often. Films don't get the green light. And if they do get the green light, they don't get the kind of reaction that Hackers did. So... it's really, 31 years ago is when it came out. I can't believe that. But it was an honor to be a part of that. It really was.
Yeah, I really have so many memories of watching and rewatching that film. Because at the time, I was just starting to... I was in middle school. I was exploring computers and the early web and internet. was something that was like a part of our curriculum. Like we had to play with it and learn and use, understand search engines alongside word processing and all the other mm-hmm. things that we were learning. And having this like cultural text, this like thing you could look at, we were watching it, I think, for more for those details, right? For the things that they got right in it. It wasn't, like you said, it wasn't, you know, it had to have certain things that you might look back on and say, like, okay, that's not that realistic or something. Yeah, you could pick it apart, but the whole thing had so many little details that were accurate or just kind of quirky things. And then a lot of those, there's so many characters like Phantom Freak that brought attitude and just kind of just a coolness in that interaction with the other characters and what their kind of differentiations were, like what they kind of brought to things, whatever was going on, and in that collaborative sort of problem solving in the arc of the film. So I don't know, it just kind of really meant a lot to have something to look to that illustrated it, because there wasn't a lot of examples of it, especially if you're from like a rural area or you weren't from the city or you weren't exposed to a lot of like BBS culture and information sharing and so-called underground or dark web as it became to be thought of. And I don't know, realm of what was illicit or what was going on while everyone else was sleeping, you know, what people were curious about and finding out by being kind of interested and experimenting. It was that kind of spirit that I think a lot of people got out of it. But going back and looking for details, I think it was really fun. So, I don't know. I'm thrilled that people are revisiting this, maybe sharing it with people that don't get it or haven't seen it. And maybe they're trying to tell more stories like this or tell them with some new aspects or build on it. And, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty cool.
I found the quote. It's in that place where I put that thing that time. That was one quote that is attributed to him. There are others, too. I'll see if I can find them. But
yeah, that's like the one quote I think I remember.
We have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Overtime. Go ahead.
Hey, I've got the summer 26 issue of 2600 in front of me. Where's my stuff? I mean, is this how you treat your authors? Like, hold on. Like, on June 24th, you said this exact...
You will be notified, basically you get notified shortly after the issue comes out. Sometimes it's a few weeks after, sometimes it's even a month or two after, but it's almost always before the next issue comes out. And then you have a choice of things that you can get.
Okay. And when?
And when?
When did that issue come out? Hello?
It was the last one.
It was one before this.
One.
The one before this, the spring issue.
Yes.
Okay. I have no excuse but to say we're late because we're organizing a damn conference and we're backlogged. But you will get everything that's coming to you. Believe me.
Okay. Well, thank you. I mean, you know who I am. I just want a subscription for me, and then if it's possible, my friend to introduce them to this magazine.
Okay. I would say probably. Okay. Well, if you're going to be like that, then. You'll get it when you get it. How about that? No, but seriously, I don't know why people complain all the time. We're doing our best.
I love that he threw your words. I love that he took your words and threw them right back at you. That was very aggressive.
What kind of attitude is that?
That was, you don't hear that all the time.
Not trying to rip anybody off. We're just buried in work. You want to help out and help us get through all this crap. You know, it's really, really difficult to organize a conference and a magazine and a radio show and all kinds of other things all at the same time. Man.
Well, Eddie was so insistent to get on the air and throw your words back at you that he beat Rebel.
Yeah, well, that's going to cheer me up. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel.
Yes, good to hear your voice.
Yes,
speak of the devil.
Yes, of course. You know, I'm just, well, before I get into what I'm going to tell you, I was just going to mention about CB radio, and, you know, that's like ham radio, but it's easier, it's simpler, and, you know, you can communicate with people, you know, up to a mile or two, and depending on, they have AFM now, and they have different things. Okay, now, at hope I'm going to be bringing my CB radio, so if anyone at hope...
Oh,
I should do it.
Thank goodness, yes, that's going to definitely liven things up.
I should do a talk on CB radios, actually. More people need to...
Kind of late to organize a talk, but you can do the fourth track. We are doing that again.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Okay, I went to a family event, like, you know, one of those events where, you know, family get together and, you know... You see people that you haven't seen in like decades.
We know what family events are, yes.
Yeah. Now, there's certain particular family events. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the sad ones and the happy ones. And when I was talking to this person and they said, "Oh yes, I remember you. Oh, I haven't seen you since you were like so maybe like so little or whatever. I remember you used to come into our house and you used to play with the phone and try and call long distance."
Wow, okay, they know you well.
That's funny.
And another person, I was at another event, and somebody else said, "Oh, I remember, yeah, you remember me? You used to come into that the beauty parlor I used to go to. They used to play with that big phone that they had."
Did you just walk into buildings playing with other people's phones?
No, remember the desktop payphones in, like, salons and different restaurants and stuff back in the 90s?
Well, I didn't go to very many salons, but the ones I did go, yeah, they did have something like that.
Yeah, so I would go in there, and there would, some person that maybe knew or a family member happened to be there at that time, and they remembered it now. And
you're hard to forget. Let's just put it that way.
Let's see. There's numbers that hold on. That call you. Like, if you owe somebody money, they call you from a number. They call you from one number, but then if you, like, block that number, they'll call you from a different, like, they'll call you from a 646-461 exchange. And if you, like, ignore that, they'll call you from the 646-475 exchange. And then, if you ignore that, they'll call you from the 646-467 exchange. And, you know.
Never counting on the fact that you're taking note of all of that.
Right. And, and also, when you get a telemarketing call on your cell phone from a number, you know, and then when you call that number from the number from your cell phone, you get the telemarketer. But if you call from a different number, you get a recording saying, "I'm sorry, you're not calling from a number that we recognize," or something like that.
Yes, we talked about this about 50 times on this show.
And 211 mentions that you have a rotary phone. Oh, let's call CM. Oh, I think it's... Wait, I could put you on hold and they ask me if you have a rotary phone. Hold on.
And now for something completely different.
Well, does anyone have anything interesting
to
say?
There we go.
Someone from the chat.
Information in the rural hotline.
Hang on.
By the 311 customer
service.
There's a lot going on here.
City. This is an emergency.
Wait, you said,
hang up
you
and
said
call
211. This is 311.
Your call may be recorded for quality purposes.
211, this is.
No, this is 311. I know the difference.
Speak with a representative. If you are calling from a rotary phone, please hang up and dial 311.
See, I told you 311.
Yeah.
You said it was 211.
Calling from a rotary, like, what's a rotary phone?
Well, how could you dial? How could you hang up and dial if you're on a rotary phone? You don't have DTMFs.
Okay, first of all, dialing is dialing. It's got nothing to do with...
Well, they're saying, if you're on a rotary phone, hang up and dial 311.
Hang up and dial...
Oh, but you're saying this is 211? Is that
211.
It?
That's
so you get an operator on 311?
No, it's the thing that you see advertised, the community thing, like if you're having, you know, like, I don't know, like I don't know, mental issues or something. They call 211 and I don't know, things like that.
I don't know about that. I'm going to look up what 211 is in New York City.
Would you like to hear the recording again? And you'll maybe we can help with it.
Would I? Yeah. Try and stop me from hearing this.
Okay. Hold on.
thank you for calling the 211 Information and Referral Hotline, brought to you by the 311 Customer Service Center in New York City.
Wait, 211 is brought to you by 311? Did she just say that?
Call 911.
I don't know.
Your call may be recorded for quality purposes. Please press 6 if you wish to speak with a representative. If you are calling from a rotary phone, please hang up and dial 311.
Okay, so according to this website I'm looking at, 211 connects New Yorkers to local resources and services, including food, housing, mental health support, and more. It's free, confidential, and available 24/7 in multiple languages. Simply dial 211 on your phone to reach one of our friendly, caring, professional community resource specialists. It's a lot of description there. But, okay, so, wow, all right, 211 and 311, they sort of work together.
Yeah, I mean, notice they hang up with you. If you don't press anything, it hangs up.
Yeah, I guess that's not too friendly.
Yeah, well, if you don't have Touchtone, if you don't subscribe to Touchtone service.
I believe 211 is run by the state, 311 is run by the city.
Oh. Oh, but why does it say it's being brought to you by the 211?
I can't help you beyond that.
Okay, let's see what's not true first.
All right.
Brought to you by the people who ban data centers.
Rebel, I have no control over this, but I'm told we only have 20 seconds for you, so finish up in 20 seconds.
Okay, let's see. What else can we call? We could call 270-278.
15 seconds now. Well, you can't give them
Where's the woodpecker? Do we have a woodpecker, Bill?
They're very strict about
this.
Ten seconds.
Operators do not do emergency interruptions and visual verifications and collect calls and all that other stuff anymore. Local.
All right, as your final 5 seconds here, Rebel, I want to wish you a good night and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Okay. Oh, by the way, no, I'm going to be in Europe.
Oh, where are you going?
No. I'll be around next week.
All right.
In 2 weeks, I'll be in Europe.
Where in Europe are you going?
To Switzerland first and then to Italy.
Okay, don't mention the World Cup in either of those countries. They're very sensitive.
I know.
Yeah, Italy didn't even qualify. I don't know what happened.
I know that.
All right, good talking to you, and we'll talk again soon. Now, Kyle, you were saying something about the chat, I believe.
Oh, I just saw a question about Hope 2026. There was interest in virtual attendance and what you get access to, and it is, and what platform we typically use.
Okay.
The Matrix platform, I believe, is what we've used recently over the last 6 years. We've been really relying on it. It's been quite useful. So basically, you'll get if you purchase that, you get a virtual ticket. Then prior to the event, we'll issue keys or ways to get access to those channels. And then those are what our MCs or our heralds at the event will refer to when speakers have finished and they take questions from the virtual channels. It'll be mainly people that have joined them from virtual attendance. So that's how we organize those questions. They're not coming from sort of a public channel or like we're doing here with YouTube.
Right.
So, but it is ongoing. That has to be retooled and revamped, and that's part of a whole lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. If you're volunteering, please register. We're going to get a lot of that stuff updated on the wiki, and we'll be making appeals to people, and we're spreading a lot of sense of urgency just given the whole time frame for the run-up to the event. But thanks for that question.
Yeah, and people have said it's like being at the conference without being at the conference, you know. So it's, you're able to interact with the speakers, with the other attendees, and it's it really is a lot of fun. I've heard a lot of good things about the virtual attendee feature.
Yeah, it's a great way for a lot of people to be involved, too, if you're doing a watch party or something at a...
Well, the other thing, too, is, I often end up at the last Hope emceeing a lot, right? And so, trying to channel our dear friend Greg Newby in many ways. And so as part of that emceeing, I had to watch the Matrix channel and essentially relay any questions that people from the Matrix channels and the virtual attendees had for the speakers. And I thought it was actually really cool because we would give all of the virtual attendees' priority with their questions, right? So you actually have, I think, better access to the speaker when you're a virtual attendee. It's definitely mm-hmm. something to check out. You're part of the action, and we make sure of it.
Yeah. And you mentioned, Greg, just makes me realize we are undertaking so much without having him here. This is the first year we've done that, and it's incredibly difficult. It's like, you know, the workload has doubled, maybe even tripled, because he's done so much in the past, and now we don't have him anymore. And it's that alone is so hard. But trying to duplicate or at least, you know, measure up in some way to all the things he did, it's so difficult. It really is. So that's why we're stressed, because boy, it's a lot to undertake. It just seems like it's one challenge after another. First we lose Hotel Penn, then COVID happens, then we're in this college in Queens, then they kick us out, then we have to find a place in Manhattan, which we somehow managed to do, and now we're struggling to bring up those attendee numbers so that we can actually afford to do this. We want to just, you know, bring the best conference possible and, you know, look at our speakers. They're all online, hope.net right now. They're really awesome. It's really amazing. It's one of the best conferences in the country, I think. So we just hope a lot of people support it and make it happen so that it'll happen again.
And I really do have a fantastic feeling about this one. Being in a New Yorker hotel is going to be extraordinary. There's just so much stuff around there. But I think this one is going to be one that's historical. It's not to be missed. I mean, we are where Tesla lived and died. There's an energy there. When we did the walkthrough and we went through the whole venue, I'm super excited about this. I mean, just even inside the hotel are so many cool places, like that diner over there, plus the steak restaurant that's in the hotel. Just imagine that being all these places being taken over by hackers. It's going to be
in a good way. In a good
cool
way,
thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want them to tune in and panic. So, you know,
yeah. There's a lot. There's going to be a lot of exploring happening in the New York.
It's a 24-hour diner downstairs in the hotel, and there are bars on across the street and on the next block, and they're everywhere. There's something to do. It's right by Penn Station. It's the most lively place. It never sleeps.
Yeah,
go ahead, Kyle.
No, I just think we think of it as a home. You know, it's not mm-hmm. really being taken over. It's just our new home, and, you know, we want to really have the best sort of housewarming party we can have and really learn and grow into the space.
It's
hopefully.
The center. I mean, you know, New York City has the best area code, right? 212. Because, you know, in the rotary dial era, those were the fewest pulses that you had to transmit. 212. There was nothing else like that. The next one was 213 or 312. There was an extra pulse. So 212. And then the zip code in the area is 10001. It's the first area code. I mean, unless you go back to the zeros, but then you're just being a pain in the ass. Nobody really counts those.
Yeah, I didn't never really put that together. I guess that's kind of where the whole thing started, huh?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's figured it out yet. It's
okay. Yeah.
Do we have another phone call?
Yeah.
Boy, we have a lot of phone calls tonight.
Let's do it.
Somehow, when we don't have Gila, we get more phone calls. All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
In 2002, I saw a Bond movie in the theater called Die Another Day. And as part of the Wikipedia article, it says, "As Ice Palace in Iceland, Graves unveiled a new orbital mirror satellite, Icarus, which is able to put stellar energy on a small area and provide year-round sunshine for agriculture." You can imagine there was trouble with that.
So what, this company got its idea from a James Bond film?
Well, maybe the idea comes up naturally to certain people, but yeah, I remember seeing that, and yes, it was a Bond movie.
Wow. Okay, well, now I have to see that movie. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Cool. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Bronx.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. Anything else?
You're welcome. Yes. I remember that Madison Square Garden, because they demolished the old Penn Station in order to build it, it's supposed to owe certain things to the public,
uh-huh.
and once in a while there was supposed to be a negotiated deal which is supposed to benefit the public because of the fact that they're using that space. But I think things sort of went wrong with that. I don't know.
Well, it'd be good if we could find that agreement. It must be in newspapers at the time. Because, you know, when they destroyed the original Penn Station, that was a real black mark on New York City. Everybody regrets doing that. It's a beautiful station, and it was completely destroyed. Now, of course, they're rebuilding Penn Station, trying to bring it back to that era. But we're talking, you know, about 70 years ago this happened, and it was just a huge, huge mistake. So if the current Madison Square Garden was responsible for that and pledged to, you know, give payback somehow, they definitely should be held to that.
Well, there was some deal originally. I found some search results about Trump paying $8 billion to allow MSG to continue or something like that. I didn't look into those too deeply. I just looked them up. But yeah, you should look into that.
I will. It's definitely of interest. Thanks so much for your call, and keep listening.
Okay.
Right. Take care. Yeah, so good call tonight for the most part. I guess we have room for one or two more. 802-321-4225 is our phone number.
Yes.
What happened to Alex? It's really, really dark where he is.
Oh, wow. He's not there anymore.
What do you mean he's not there anymore? What am I looking at?
It looks like he wandered off.
But we're seeing where he was, right?
We have a phone call.
Oh, I see his hand.
I'm here. I just had to go get some water. I'm outside. It's hot.
You figured that out, huh? It's hot outside. We've been talking about that all night.
Yeah. I needed a hydration break, you know. This is like the World Cup.
Okay, all right. Uh-huh. We promised the chat we wouldn't do this. Come on now.
I got to tell you, the American announcers on the World Cup, they really try my patience. I've had to do what many people do is turn to Telemundo, and even though I don't know Spanish, it's far preferable. But we have actually two more options because we have Canadian TV. We can watch TSN, the sports network up there, and they use British announcers, and you know, you can just relax. They're not constantly barraging you with statistics that are meaningless. I mean, who cares if England did the same thing 60 years ago? It's not the same team. It's not the same people. It's just the same country name. It's not relevant. And we can also watch it in French. Yeah, so we have all these options.
Oui.
Yeah. We could also just watch it with the sound off. I suppose that's a fifth option. All right.
The statistics are weird. I agree. Yeah.
It's meaningless. Good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. On June 10th, I bought a virtual ticket, and I just wanted to know when I'll be receiving a follow-up email that includes either a password or login instructions.
Yes.
To connect when the conference begins.
You'll be getting information like
far closer to the conference date.
We still have about 4 weeks, but it will be within a week or two of the conference. You'll check your email. Make sure you have access to the same email you used when you bought the ticket, you'll get notified. That's just how we've always done it, and it works great.
Yeah, it's really good advice for everybody. Just like make sure you're getting those emails. They're not going to someplace you don't see them, and look for a flurry, a little as minimal as we can, but several announcements in the lead up. But it's going to be later because, of course, we have to do all of our internal testing and make sure that we're ready to go with all of it for you so we don't have any hiccups.
But feel free to email us if you need to check anything.
So it'll be roughly about a week before maybe that I'll get the final email that acknowledges I have a virtual ticket?
Yeah, that's about a good approximate date. Just in that window, we're probably going to be making some final touches on it, but sending out announcements through our regular correspondence.
When you made the purchase, though, you should have gotten something from our store saying thank you. Okay, so that's your
thank you.
That's your receipt right there. So you know we're not going to forget about you. You're going to hear from us again. And with instructions, if you have any trouble with the instructions, we have a crew standing by to help you access everything.
Okay, and do I need to set up an account with Matrix just to view the sessions, or is that only if I want to ask questions of the speakers?
Only if...
Interact with other attendees.
Got it. Yeah. No, that's a great question. Only if you would like to interact with the other attendees and look around at some of the other rooms, because the Matrix environment, there's actually many other channels and things that sometimes become active again, like they are idle a little bit in between events. But it's actually grown, and so there's other stuff there, and also other channels about general chatting, general conversation about how the conference is going. So you can really kind of wander around there outside of the channels that we'll likely be setting up, that we'll set up definitely for each of the three tracks. What you would do to view is just use the streaming links that we're going to be setting up, and those will likely be on a platform, some kind of streaming platform. I'm thinking maybe like a YouTube or a... I'm not sure exactly the details of where we're going to be referencing, but that's going to be information. We'll have announcements and posts on the wiki closer to the event. So you'd be able to watch online if you were virtual, and then use Matrix alongside that. I hope that answers your question.
Okay. Yeah, that does. So it could be YouTube, but it might be something other than YouTube, you're saying, as far as the streaming.
Well, YouTube is definitely not going to be our primary streaming, because they're very restrictive as far as if you whistle the wrong thing, they'll shut you down.
Exactly. It's worked great in the past, except for instances where something totally random gets flagged, and then all of a sudden you're down a stream. It's really not reliable. So we're trying to... we have a lot of different ways to do it, but the best way for us is still kind of straddling something that is hosted like that, that can really handle the scale that sometimes occurs around Hope. But we don't want to have any kind of disruption either. So we're going to have explicit links that we'll be referencing on the wiki and in some of those correspondence to look out for.
Yep, and as a paid attendee, you'll be getting access to all of that.
Okay, and I assume there will be an email address listed on the website to contact if I need help, right?
Absolutely, yes.
There will be some. Okay, yes. Great. Okay, great. And by the way, I've never been to Albania, but I got to give a shout out. They have one of the coolest flags I've ever seen.
Yeah, is it the
double-headed eagle?
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
You
see it in various places, and it's so recognizable.
And Montenegro has a cool one too. They also have a double-headed eagle, and that's on a coat of arms, so it's more elegant. But those are two of the best.
Wow. Yeah, there's some good flags out there.
There are lots of good flags. In fact, that's my only criticism of the World Cup, is the teams with the countries with the coolest national flags never qualify.
Yeah.
You've never seen Nepal or Bhutan in the World Cup.
Yeah, they got like the triangular flags, right?
Right. Nepal is the only country with a non-quadrilinear flag. And I'd love to see them in a finals, because to see 35,000 or 40,000 Nepali flags being waved in the stadium would be pretty cool.
Wow.
And Bhutan is the only country that has a dragon on a flag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, but the World Cup is great. I love it. I just wish they'd start earlier, because of climate change. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep doing this, because I don't want to see people dying in the stands from heat stroke.
Yeah,
we're getting
not just in the field, but in the stands as well. Yeah,
yes.
it's definitely a bit much. We thought Qatar was like a challenge, but the United States has been a challenge too.
I think they should consider starting in April, actually, with the heat. You know, start it like the first week of April and end it maybe at the end of June or something.
Well, you heard MLS, Major League Soccer in this country, they're switching their season to winter instead of summer.
Maybe that's better.
Yeah.
I just think it's too damn hot. It's just too... It has to affect the quality of play. I mean, these guys are elite athletes, but they're human, and I don't think athletes were designed to play in 95 degree weather. You're not going to perform at your best.
That's definitely true.
Sense.
There was real concern when England were playing in Mexico City. You know, the heat and also the altitude. It's just, but they did all right. They won.
Right, but then they lost lost to today.
Oh, spoiler alert! Yes,
I was rooting. I wanted to see England and France in the final, but maybe next time now.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting that the final four teams were also the top rated four teams. That's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah, that's something. I mean, that's worth noting. But I'd like to see an expanded roster of teams. But they got to push it back. I mean, start in April, for Christ's
sake. Well, this was the expanded roster. This is 48 teams instead of 32. And now they're talking about making it 64. So, wow.
Yeah.
That's like everybody will qualify.
64 would be cool.
It would be.
But there's 210 teams. No,
you're right.
So there are more members of FIFA than the UN General Assembly.
Yes.
That's pretty weird.
That is pretty weird.
The UN General Assembly has 193, but also because there are four UK teams, England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland, instead of one UK team, which is kind of weird.
That is weird. I've always wondered about that.
No, I saw on Google, they said residents in Scotland and Wales are very resentful and they don't like England, so they insist on having their own teams.
Uh-huh.
And maybe Alex could speak to that because he travels to England a lot. But there's a lot of animosity, according to what I saw on the internet, in Wales and Scotland, and they would never agree to have one team.
Well, I'm just glad there's a Scottish team because what magic they brought to the event.
They did bring magic. They did. Yeah.
All right,
well,
thanks for your call.
I look forward to getting the emails, and have a great conference.
All right.
Thanks.
Yes,
see you there.
Wish us luck, please.
Yeah, we'll need it. We'll need it. Alex, you do something?
Yeah. I think, you know, we have somebody in the chat from England right now who can probably speak to the various national prides that Wales and Scotland has better than I could. But you recall, you know, I don't remember exactly how many years ago it was, but it wasn't too long ago, but there was a referendum in the United Kingdom about whether Scotland should become its own country, and I believe it almost passed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of resentment and national pride in sort of your geography, and you're part of the United Kingdom, right? You know, and you may not want to be part of that United Kingdom. You might want to be your own kingdom. I get it, but I will leave it to people far more knowledgeable who are quite literally in the thick of it. But the caller was really kind of up on flags there.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you guys a question there. Do you know what the word is for the study of flags? There's a whole ology.
I can tell you right away, I do not know that. Do you, Kyle?
I don't know, like, to have to do it.
I'm so certain I don't know. I didn't have to think about it. Kyle's thinking about it, so he might know.
Okay. Yeah, have you given up yet?
It's a word that we don't use often and probably has multiple syllables.
I think I know, but I don't want to say, so just say it.
Yeah. It is vexillology.
Vexillology, yeah. Yeah.
Vexillology is the study of flags. It's quite like a literal meaning. It comes from the Latin word vexillum,
mm-hmm.
which was a flag. It was kind of like a standard bearer flag type thing that the Roman cavalry and certain legions would carry. It was like the square flag. And so somebody who studies flags is known as a vexillologist.
Mm-hmm.
So, just trying to educate somebody.
Well, thanks for the education. Yeah. And we're going to take one more phone call because we're about out of time here, and it's still very steamy where we are, so we'd like to get to a place with oxygen. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got a little bit of a trivia fact here about 2-1-1. It originally, back in the day, was referred to as the line for the long-distance operator. This was as direct-distance dialing was coming into effect, and people had to call the long-distance operator to make a long-distance call if they had DDD. I'm kind of a phone historian, so...
Direct-distance dialing.
That into the mix.
Yes. Wow, okay, well, we like phone historians for sure, so do tell us more.
Okay, well, that's about it. That's the only real factoid that I have on that. But, Alex, as far as ham radio, definitely go for it. I've been a ham since 1978, and it's about as exciting to me as it was today as it was back then. Learning stuff every day, and I've done everything from HFDXing to satellite chasing to all sorts of things, and you are in for a ball. And as far as ham studying, if you can't do it at Hope in August, there are plenty of ways to do it online. You can even do it from the comfort of your house by signing up for an online test when you're ready. There are also various sites where they throw various questions at you, and you can essentially test and practice until you feel that you're ready to take the real test. So just figured I'd toss in this and give you positive support.
Cool. I appreciate that so much. That's excellent. I feel like it will be an interesting new community to join, and I'm excited to learn. I really am. It's a cool thing, and it'll be really neat to be able to share it with my son, along with all these really long-time enthusiasts. Seems like you get into it, you don't leave it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you and your son will be welcome, and I'll be more than happy to email you some all good frequencies to get on, since I'm in the New York metro area and you commute between New York and Pennsylvania. There are tons of frequencies to use, and on VHF and UHF as you start as a technician. And, of course, since you've got a house out in Pennsylvania, I can see you definitely stringing up a bunch of wires and wired antennas for HF for working on the shortwave. So you've got the world in your hands as soon as you pass the test.
Cool. I really hope I pass this test now. This is,
We're counting on you, Alex. We are.
I know. Yeah. All right. All right.
Well,
all right.
I hope to work you when you're on the air. Good luck.
Got it. You got it. That all sounds right. Good. I appreciate it. Thanks for the support.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
See you at Hope.
Bye-bye.
Good night. And that's going to do it for us tonight. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, a big thanks to all 53 people listening on the stream or in the chat. Everybody, we really appreciate you. Everybody that listened on the air.
You did it without Gila.
WBAI. Tune in next time. This will be,
did the chat fall apart? Did it hold together?
Yeah, we'll do another overtime next week. I think we are doing overtime again.
Well, this is the first overtime in like a month.
No, but when do we take calls on air?
Usually at the it'll be like
week?
The first week of August.
Okay, yeah. So we'll probably do another overtime, then have calls live on the air. Support WBAI and write OTH at 2600.com.
That's our email address. And if you believe in email, send us one.
Yeah, and we absolutely miss Gila's expertise, but hopefully everybody got questions answered and had a good time. We'll welcome our other hosts back in subsequent weeks.
And Alex, you have a concluding remark.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, we talked about Gila quite a bit. Nobody has ever mentioned Rob the last 2 hours.
No, we did mention, we said Rob and Gila, we just didn't go into much detail.
Well, yeah, Rob, I believe Rob's
you forgot all about.
No, okay, no, yeah, that's fair. Rob had a scheduled absence, I believe.
Yes.
And
in fact,
yes.
he's getting back right now.
Yes, right. But
his schedule is that he arrives back right when the show is over.
That's not his fault. He needs personal time and will be...
Somebody has to make a schedule.
He'll be rejoining us in the future.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, Wednesday's travel day.
Everything happens on Wednesday. Seriously, everything happens on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Everything.
That's how it goes. I'm heading out of town. I'm heading to London tomorrow, by the way. And it's kind of sad. You know, we talked about Greg before, so kind of concluding with this remark. But if you remember when I was on from New Year's Eve this past year and Tony had joined me from the Chelsea Arts Club after midnight. We were a little overserved, I think, during that broadcast. But he was fantastic. Everybody loved him. But I think I mentioned, you know, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Jeez.
And that was in January. And so now it's July. And he's not doing well. And so I'm going to London tomorrow to see him, what I'm pretty certain is going to be for the last time.
Well,
so
that, visit will mean the world to him. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow, so I'll be there, and then I'm just going to be there for a couple of days. And but he loved coming on to WBAI. I mean, just the idea of broadcasting from the Arts Club, one of the crazy little rooms there, on New Year's Eve. He talked to me about it so many times. It meant so much to him. So I just ask everybody to keep Tony in their hearts.
All right. I remember him. I only talked once, but I do remember that. It made quite an impression.
Good man.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will see you next week on Off the Hook, 7 p.m. on WBAI, and 8 o'clock on YouTube on Channel 2600 for Overtime.